Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. So today the Brexit Party has officially launched its campaign. Katie, you were there at the launch. How was it?
So there's been a lot of speculation leading up to the Brexit Party launch about what their electoral strategy would be. There were reports earlier in the week that they might just focus on 20 seats in Labour heartlands. I think there was a report today suggesting they might just focus on 100 seats. Well, the message today from Nigel Farage is actually they're going to look more at 500 seats. And so long as Boris Johnson doesn't change his Brexit position, they'll be standing candidates in every seat in England, Wales and Scotland. Now, the offer, if you can call it that, that Nigel Farage made to Boris Johnson is that if he changes his entire Brexit position and no longer pushes his Brexit deal and instead talks about not just no deal, but a free trade agreement, which I think is something some around Boris Johnson think he is pushing for. Anyway, but if he talks about a different type of free trade agreement, then the Brexit Party would be willing to talk to the Conservatives and they could divvy up seats across the country. There was a suggestion from Farage at this launch that they could do this with 150 seats for the Tories to contest, 150 for the Brexit Party to contest. Now, I always think in a negotiation, perhaps as we've learned from the past couple of years, you should go in hard. But I do think it, even if for some reason, and I think it's unlikely, Boris Johnson turned around and said, I want to do a pact. I think the idea that a major party would say to a party which currently has no seats, even though it did do fair well in European elections, that they could just go, you know, half and half on these targets is unlikely. I mean, when this was put to Nigel Farage, he said, you know, it's a starting offer. We're sensible, we're happy to talk. Ultimately, is this going to fly? I think it's very hard to see the Conservative Party doing this. And I think what's interesting is, at the launch and quite soon after, that this is a nightmare for the Conservatives. The Brexit Party standing in every seat is making it a lot more difficult and increases the chance of Jeremy Corbyn being Prime Minister. Now, I'm sure James will get into who suffers most depending on the margins of Brexit Party support. But I do think you just step away. I don't think anyone really in Downing Street or in, you know, Boris Johnson's inner sanctum have really been gaming their strategy on the idea that the Brexit Party was only going to stand in 20 seats. I think the whole way through they have thought the Brexit Party probably will stand in most seats, and hence the strategy has always been to almost to get rid of the need for the Brexit Party to get their percentage down to a lower mark, and that is the way you do it. I think there's always been a reluctance to enter into a pact with Nigel Farage, because if you do that, they think they will lose some Tory voters who would be repelled or who wouldn't like that, who might otherwise stick around. So I don't think this is actually so much of a game changer today. I think it is confirming what we thought was probably going to be the case. And now it just goes back to the same old question as a couple of months ago, which is, who does the Brexit Party hurt more? And I do think there is a real chance it hurts the Tories, because we saw that in the most two recent by-elections, where the Brexit Party vote share appeared to stop the Conservative Party from holding those seats. But they have since then seen the Tories try and bring down the support for the Brexit Party. So that's going to be a deciding factor in this election.
Yep, James. And looking at that pact, obviously the Conservative Party hasn't really welcomed it, or, you know, pretty much battered away every single time it's been raised so far. But Nigel Farage today said that later in the campaign, the Conservatives will come and change their minds. Do you think that's possible or likely?
No. I think that one of the reasons for that is, even when Boris Johnson thought there was a good chance he was going to be fighting the election on, not a no-deal platform, but we must keep no-deal on the table to get a deal, which would have been a much more Brexit Party-friendly platform, much more alienating to former Remainers. Even at that point, Boris Johnson thought that you would lose as much water out the other side of the bath as you gained from doing a deal with the Brexit Party, because that would doom Tory MPs in Remain-leaving seats. So I think there is very little chance to do that now, because, you know, for example, right, the Tories have a chance of holding on to take a seat like Cheltenham, for example, where the Lib Dems are challenging. If they do a deal with Nigel Farage and the Brexit Party, they wouldn't have a chance of holding on there. So given that the Tories want to hold on to as many seats as they can in the south, in the London suburbs where the Lib Dems are threatening, as possible, I don't think they're going to do this deal with the Brexit Party. I also think that they have a very effective squeeze message on the Brexit Party, which will essentially be what the Tories have said today, which is, look, if you vote for the Brexit Party, you are basically voting for Jeremy Corbyn or the Liberal Democrats, because if the Tories don't win a majority, there's going to be a second referendum. So if you don't want a second referendum on Brexit and you want the UK to leave the EU, you've got to vote Tory. That's how they're going to try and squeeze that Brexit Party vote down. Now, that is obviously a gamble, but I think, as Katie said, in Downing Street's calculations about causing the election, I don't think they were under any illusions that Farage would stand. I think they have always assumed that the Brexit Party would stand mm-hmm. everywhere. Yeah. And the only places where the only places and people where the Brexit Party might stand down are places which the Tories are going to win anyway.
And Katie, did we find out today about Nigel Farage's own personal ambitions to stand in this next election and where he might do that?
Well, he didn't give the game away. He was asked if he was going to be seeking a seat, and Nigel Farage said that today wasn't about that. Actually, in 2 to 3 days, we'll begin to hear where the Brexit Party are standing candidates, and that's when you hear about the prominent members, some of whom are MEPs but might try and become MPs instead. I think the fact that he didn't deny it suggests that there is a chance that he does. But, I mean, Nigel Farage is notoriously unsuccessful at getting seats. I mean, there's been some talk, would he go for a high-profile seat such as Boris Johnson's, or do you go for a seat where actually you think there's a higher chance of winning? I do think what's interesting here is, which seats are the Brexit Party most likely to get? Because when there was talk earlier this week about how they might focus in on 20 seats in the Labour heartlands, I mean, I thought that was actually going to be bad news for the Tory party. Some people thought it would be good news because they'd be less cross, but ultimately the Tories really want to win seats in Labour heartlands. It's quite key to their current electoral message and strategy. It's why they've gone, they have this very Brexit message, but it's accompanied by higher spend domestic policies. So the Brexit party said, you know, we want to stand in Ashfield. Well, that's also a Tory target seat, so I didn't quite see where. And also, if you're only standing in 20 seats, Brexit Party is fairly well funded, but they could focus all their resources on those. If the Brexit Party actually try and stand in every seat in England, Scotland and Wales, you could argue that you're going to have much, much thinner resources and less of a focus. So I don't think it would necessarily, you know, work in their favour to do this. I think as for the Nigel Farage stance, I do think that the message I picked up from hearing what they were saying, there was a big focus on the North East and there was a big focus on South Wales. And they said that those were the two areas where they did very well in European elections, where they think there are disillusioned Labour voters who want to vote mm-hmm. for the Brexit Party, and they think those voters do not want to vote for the Tory Party. So I think that if you were seeing, I would say, prominent Brexit Party candidates looking for a seat, I think that those are the areas where they are likely to have the highest chance, or at least they think they have the highest chance. Mm-hmm. They might not be the most high publicity areas, but I think those are the ones that they'll be focusing in on.
James, at the risk of talking about Nigel Farage for the entire podcast, there was an exceptional, well, at least I thought, highly... I don't even know. There was an extremely...
The Trump interview.
The Trump interview.
I understand why you are speechless, because this is one of those things where if you travel back in time and said, at the beginning of an election campaign, the sitting US president will fall into a talk show being hosted by the leader of a minor political party that's planning to stand in the election, and opined on his views on the leader of Her Majesty's opposition, current prime minister, you would have said, no, foreign leaders don't interfere in elections. They certainly don't phone into talk shows to offer their views on this. But Donald Trump did all that. I think if you look at what he said, I think in an odd way from this radio performance, everyone actually got something that they wanted. The Labour Party got Trump being very critical of Jeremy Corbyn. That helps them in their current strategy to fire up their base. Trump's sufficiently unpopular in the UK, but I think the Corbyn criticism from him is a net benefit for the people he is trying to reach. What the Tories got out of it was, on the one hand, you got criticism of a deal that Boris Johnson's struck with the EU, a kind of warning it might make a trade deal with the US harder, which I suspect you'll hear Farage going on about on the stump a lot. But you got Trump himself saying that the NHS isn't going to be on the table in the trade negotiations. And I think you'll hear the Tories try and turn that to their advantage in the coming days, saying, look, even Donald Trump has had to acknowledge that the NHS is not going to be on the table in these trade negotiations. And I think they will hope that that can quieten down what was, I think, I'm looking at Katie now to see if she agrees with me, what I think was the lead Labour attack line at their first event of the election campaign in Battersea yesterday, that not for sale chant, that idea that, you know, if you let the Tories in and Brexit happens, they'll flog off the NHS to the Americans. You know, so the fact that Trump himself is saying that's not going to happen is probably helpful. And Farage obviously got the publicity, the kudos that comes from that interview. So, I mean, if you watch what everyone did there, that's the question. I think there is another question, which is, this is 5-6 weeks out from polling day. Trump will be in London for the NATO summit at the beginning of December. That is much, much closer. And it will be interesting to see what he says then and there and what impact that has. It's also going to put all the other NATO leaders at that summit in a very difficult position, because it will be harder to say, I'm not going to interfere in your politics when the President of the United States is busy. I feel kind of offering himself up as a kind of newspaper columnist pundit with his views on the election.
Looking forward to seeing that very much. James and Katie, thanks very much.